Go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter number 8. We'll admit I'm torn with what message to preach tonight. Usually, I have my testimony and everything in this message, but then I felt led to give it this morning. So, I don't know, maybe saying something twice, but this is just a message that's been in my heart all day. So, I'll go ahead and go through this. Mark chapter number 8. I'll go ahead and begin reading here. Mark chapter number 8, verse number 22. It says here, Mark 8, verse number 22, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up, and he was restored, and saw every man clearly." Here we see a miracle that Jesus worked, and we can see him all through the Bible, a bunch of different ways that Jesus works miracles in different situations. And we know Jesus has all the power in the world to work miracles. He doesn't need our permission. He doesn't need us to do anything. But I also see here this particular miracle, this blind man had to do a few things to be able to receive the miracle, or at least the whole miracle in his life. And I want to go through tonight and point out, you know, Jesus had all the power to work the miracle, but what did the blind man have to do to receive the miracle? Let's pray first. Dear Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you so much for this wonderful church where we can come and worship you, Lord, and read from your word and hopefully learn something tonight. I pray that you'd please do meet with us tonight, Lord. I pray that you'd get me out of the way so that people can see you tonight, Lord. I pray that you would send the Holy Spirit's power to meet with us tonight. I pray that you can guide and direct in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll go ahead and begin in verse number 22. It says here, verse number 22, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him." And when I first started going over this message, I just skipped over this verse. I thought, okay, this is, you know, setting up for the miracle about to happen. This isn't really important. But then God really began to work in my heart about where it says in verse number 22, "He cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him." We don't know anything else about who they are. Probably never mentioned again in the Bible. Don't know their names. We don't know anything about them. But they are so important. They're such a vital part of this miracle. Without they, they're not famous. They're not, you know, people aren't talking about them 2,000 years later. Oh, yeah, remember the they. No, they don't have the big name. They're just an average person, just an average Christian who's going out and bringing someone into Jesus, who's gone out and bringing the blind into Jesus. It's so important. It's so vital to the miracle. Without the they, without these just average Christians, it wouldn't be a miracle. This is the only way that this blind man had of having his life changed, of having a miracle worked in his life, is if someone was just willing to go out and bring him into Jesus. That's still what we need to be doing today. That's still the soul winning that is happening way back when Jesus was on the earth. That still needs to happen today. There is a world out there that is searching, that is blind, that can't find their own way to Jesus. They need us to just do our part. Be the they that's just going, willing to just bring someone into Jesus. They're not going to work the miracle. They're not going to have their names, you know, made famous, anything like that. They're just doing their part. They're just bringing someone into Jesus. It's so important. It's so vitally important that's what a church still needs today. You know, it's good if a pastor is going out, an assistant pastor is going out, soul winning, bringing people in. But you know, it thrives on the they. If we have people just going out and bringing the lost into Jesus, we can still today see miracles. We can still see lives change, amazing things happening. If there's just someone willing to go out and bring the blind into Jesus. That's the whole reason we're going to Puerto Rico. You know, Puerto Rico has a lot of different needs. You go down there, it's very obvious they have a lot of poverty, you see, right off the bat. One of the most shocking things we saw is they have houses built up on stilts, you know, to be higher for the hurricane season. And so they have, the main family will live up in the house, and then they will rent out the area underneath the house to another family. And you know, I don't know how much they charge, but there's another family that's happy just to live underneath the house. They don't have walls. They don't have running water. They don't have anything. They have a roof over their head. There's poverty all over the island. You see it very, very quickly. That's a need. There's alcoholism is very, very bad in Puerto Rico. They start drinking at a very young age. You'll have teenagers that are absolutely alcoholics, and a very, very big problem. There's a huge deaf community there, very large deaf community, and they're, for the most part, just kind of dropped out of society. People don't really care for them. They don't have education, stuff like that. Many of them don't even know sign language. It's a big need. There's a huge need, and I would love to be able to do a few different things to help have an outreach for them and everything. But the main reason we are going there is just to be a they, just to be someone going out and bringing the blind, bringing the lost into Jesus. It's so vitally important. No matter where you are, here in Wayland, Missouri, or Puerto Rico, across the world, we need just an average Christian just to do their part of bringing someone into Jesus, telling someone about Christ, bringing someone into church. It's so important. It's so vitally important. We can look at this miracle tonight and think, okay, Jesus is going to do everything great here, and it's going to be wonderful once this miracle happens. But no, back it up a little bit. It starts with someone just being willing to go out and bring this blind man into Jesus. First thing I see that the blind man had to do is he had to leave. Verse number 23 says, "And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town." Now, Jesus, he could have worked the miracle there in the town. He has nothing holding him back from working the miracle wherever he wants to. But this time he said, "All right, I can do this miracle. I can change your life right here. But first, you're going to have to leave the town behind." Now, think about it. As a blind man, this is probably, this man probably spent most of his life, most of his time there in the city. Especially back in those days, I'm sure they didn't get out very much. But I'm sure, that's where his family was, that's where his friends were, that's where everything that he was used to, everything he was comfortable with was there in the city. That's where his life was there in the city. And before Jesus is going to work the miracle, he said, "Okay, you know what? You're going to have to leave your city behind. You're going to have to leave all of that behind. Everything that you're used to, everything that you're comfortable with, all of your family, everyone, going to have to leave that behind. Before I'm going to work in your life, before I'm going to give you an amazing miracle, I'm going to give you sight for the first time in your life, before that's going to happen, you're going to have to be willing to leave everything behind. If we want God to work in our life still today, we're going to have to be willing to leave something behind. I don't know what it is. It could be different for every single person in here. But I know before God is going to work in your life, very often he's saying, you're going to have to leave this behind. Maybe it's just a comfort zone. Maybe God's saying, I can change your life. I can work miracles in you, through you. You can see amazing things happen. But first, you're going to have to leave behind what you're used to. You're going to have to leave behind what you're comfortable with. So often, it seems we get into our rut of a Christian life. And this is what we do. Every Sunday we come into church and, we'll fill our spot in the pew and we'll give our tithes, and that's all good. That's all very, very good things to do. But sometimes we just get too comfortable there. And God's saying, I want you to do so much more. There's something else I want you to do. There's another thing that, if you just do, I could bless you with. I could work miracles in your life. But you're going to have to leave that comfort zone. You're going to have to leave what you're comfortable with behind. If you want God to work in your life, he's going to want you to leave something behind. I'll go through my testimony again. I grew up in a good Christian home. Praise the Lord for it. My dad was kept us very, very active in church. Anytime the doors were open, we were in church. I praise the Lord for that. That is a wonderful opportunity. I was saved when I was 9 years old after a Wednesday night church service, after I struggled with it for a little while. But I was saved March 21st, 2000. And as a senior in high school, I had my own plan set for my life. I thought I knew what I was going to do with, as most seniors do. I had a career I had picked out, the college I was going to go to, how I expected my life to go. And, I wasn't going to drop out of church or, do anything wicked or anything like that. I had my own plan for my life. Up to that point in my life, I loved computers, anything to do with technology. That was my life. I built my first computer when I was 12 years old. It's just that had consumed my entire life was technology. And so it was my plan to go to California, go to Bible college out there for a year, and then go get my degree in computers and go work for Apple. That's how I thought my life was going. And as a senior in high school, God began to work in my heart about being a missionary. And I struggled with it for a little while, you know, thinking, God, you know, you must be looking for someone else. This isn't what I do. I don't get up in front of people and speak. You know, I'm very, very much reserved, very shy, especially back then. And I struggled with it for a little while, but then I said, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Changed all of my plans, went to Providence Baptist College in Elgin, Illinois, and I majored in missions there. I had to get to a point in my life where I had to leave behind all the plans I had made. They weren't bad plans. It wasn't a plan to do wrong. It was how I thought my life was going to go. And I had to leave all of that behind. Maybe that's what you're struggling with today. Maybe you just have you have your idea of how you think your life should be going. You have, you know, your plan set out for your job, and, you know, maybe not even that big. Maybe it's just you have your plan set out for your Sunday, you know, what you're going to do in church, and or who you're going to talk to about Jesus or about church. Maybe that's just that is your plan that you have, how you think your life is going to go. And God's saying, you know what? You're going to have to leave that behind. I have another plan for you. I have another direction I think your life should be going. Maybe that's what you're going to have to leave behind. Maybe before Jesus is going to work this miracle in this blind man's life, this blind man had to come to a point where he was willing to leave everything behind. He was willing to leave his city, everything that he was used to, behind so that God could work in his life. Maybe we can see the city as a picture of the world or picture of sin. Maybe God is calling you to do something. Maybe, and I'm not saying it's to be a missionary and to, you know, go somewhere. If so, praise the Lord. That's amazing. That's a wonderful blessing. But maybe God's just calling you to talk to one of your coworkers about coming to church. But we can see the city as a picture of the world or a picture of sin. Maybe there is a sin in your life. Maybe God's calling you to do something, but you just have this sin that you're just not willing to let go. You're just not willing to let go of it before God can work in your life. If you have something holding you back, if you have something that you're not willing to leave behind so that God can bless you, so that God can work in your life, you're going to have to be willing to leave that behind. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be something I mentioned. It could be something completely different. Maybe God's speaking to you right now, saying, you know what, if you'd only leave this behind, if you'd only leave this salary at work behind, if you'd only leave whatever it is, leave what you're used to behind, I can do so much more with you. But if you want God to work in your life, if you want God to do something in your life, you're going to have to be willing to leave something behind. Next thing I see is the blind man had to be led. Verse number 23 again, it says, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. This blind man, he not only had to come to a point in his life where he's saying, okay, I'm willing to leave my city behind. You know, that's what I'm used to. That's everything I'm comfortable with there. But you know what, Jesus? I don't know where you're going to take me. I don't know your plan for my life. I don't know, you know, if we're just going to be going for a few minutes, if we're going to be going for hours. This blind man, he had no idea. He had no idea. He literally had to give his hand to Jesus and follow blindly. He didn't know. He had to let Jesus lead. If we want God to work in our life still today, we're going to have to let him lead. And sometimes that means, you know, we're just saying, okay, God, I don't understand your plan for my life. I don't understand where you're taking me. I don't even understand why I'm leaving in the first place. But I want you to lead. I want you to take me wherever you want me to be in my Christian life. When I was in college, I'd been praying about where God wanted me to go as a missionary. And I was a sophomore, and we had a missions conference there at college. And there was a missionary, he was from Spain. He came to the States and was saved here in the States. Now he's going back to Spain as a missionary. And so they were talking about the different Spanish dialects, the, you know, traditional Castilian Spanish or Spain Spanish versus the Mexican and Puerto Rican Spanish, everything like that. And while they were talking about that, God really just gave me a burden for Spanish-speaking people. I started praying for Spain. I started praying for Mexico, because there was another missionary in the conference that was going to Mexico. And then I couldn't tell you where I got the idea from, but I started praying for Puerto Rico. Just the three of those I was praying about. And God really just singled out Puerto Rico. In my heart, it was like everywhere I was looking, I was seeing Puerto Rican flag. And I realized I was passing a Puerto Rican restaurant every day on my way to work, praise the Lord. And I realized several of my coworkers were Puerto Rican. I didn't even know. But God was just everywhere, on the news, on the radio. God was just bringing up Puerto Rico, Puerto Rico, Puerto Rico. So I said, okay, God, that's fine. If that's where you want me to go, that's fine. I want you to lead. Now, at the time, I was dating Bernadette. And I know it's horrible, but when I was praying about where God wanted me to go as a missionary, I wasn't even taking into account the fact Bernadette is a type 1 diabetic. As a type 1 diabetic, she has a insulin pump that gives her insulin every 3 minutes. And she has constant supplies that go with that, and doctors and everything that go with that. There's a lot of places in the world where she couldn't go, or at least not very safely. She couldn't go to, some jungle country in Africa where they don't sterilize their needles, or, they don't ship out those supplies or anything. But Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States. So as a territory of the United States, they have to keep up all the same medical standards that we have here in the States. They have to ship out all the supplies that she has for her insulin and her insulin pump. They have to ship it down to Puerto Rico. And the hospitals, have to sterilize their needles, have to have their doctors up to code and basically know what they're talking about and everything. God was already working that out. God had already picked out a place where he could take care of us. Before I was even thinking about it, God had a place, but I had to let him lead. We graduated in May 2012, we got married in June 2012, and we took our first survey trip in September of 2012, and it was a 10-day trip. We wanted to get down there, and I didn't know where God wanted me to work in Puerto Rico. It's a pretty small island. It's 110 miles east to west, 35 miles north to south, and but it takes a long time to drive anywhere. The roads are really bad. But we rented a car, and I just wanted to see as many different places as I could on the island, many different missionaries as I could, different cities, everything like that. And so we traveled all over the island, passing out John of Romans and tracts and all the cities and taking pictures and videos. And the missionary we were with took us up this crazy mountain winding road. It's a very narrow road. It switched back up and back and forth up the mountain. The one side is just a sheer cliff. If you make a wrong move, they will probably never find you. It's a very, very different road. And we're driving up there, and at that time it was any other city. It was any other place that we'd seen in Puerto Rico. But as we got up there, it's like you're going back in time up there. You get up to the top, and now you're sharing the road with donkeys and horses. It's very, very different. And so we did the same thing we did everywhere else. We passed out John and Romans and tracts. We talked to a few people that, we didn't. The missionaries we were with did. They spoke Spanish. And we took pictures and video up there. And then we were driving up, leaving the city, going up to the north side. We took Highway 10. It kind of goes up above the city. And you can look down. There's a little place to stop, and you can look down into the valley where the main city is. So we got out of the car, and I just wanted to do the same thing I'd done everywhere else, take pictures and take video. And when we got out and looked out over the city, God just broke my heart. He said, "This is where I want you to go." Now, that made no sense to me. I'm thinking, God, there's all these other places in Puerto Rico that, they're very modern, they're very nice, they're very technological. I was thinking we'd go there, at least by that time I was thinking about Bernadette, and I'm thinking, they have hospitals, they have big, nice hospitals up in San Juan, there's almost 2 million people just in San Juan alone, and it's very modern. It's, they have all the Walmarts and McDonald's, everything like that you could possibly want is up there in San Juan. And I thought, and in my reasoning, I thought that's where we'd be going. That's what made sense to me. But I knew God was calling me to Utuado. So I said, "Okay, God, you lead. I don't understand. I don't know why we'd be going to this town of, you know, the whole island of Puerto Rico. This doesn't make any sense to me, but I want you to lead. So we finished up our first trip, and we came back to the States, and we're putting together our video presentation. It's about 6 minutes long, if you saw it this morning. And we're trying to put it together, and I had 10,000 pictures and 14 hours of video, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, this is definitely enough to put together a six-minute presentation. And so we're going over and trying to edit it, and one of the main things I learned from the first trip is I do not know how to use a video camera. It was just so shaky. It was horrible. It was unwatchable. So we ended up going back down there a second time with a man in our church actually does video professionally, was able to come with us. It was a very quick 3-day trip, very close to Christmas. And we went there, and at that time, at least, I knew I was going to be going to Utuado. So we went back up that same crazy mountain road. We actually got lost a couple times, so it ended up being like 3 hours on these same horrible roads. But we got up there. We did the same thing. We took pictures. We took video. We handed out John of Romans and tracts. And then we just stopped at a little cafe there in the town square. And we're sitting down there to eat. And we look across the street. And there in the last place, you know, you'd expect to find it, the most backwards part of the island, look across the street, and there is an endocrinologist, a diabetes doctor, someone who specializes in exactly what Bernadette needs with her diabetes. God had a plan. It didn't make any sense to me. If I had been trying to pick a place, I doubt that I would have found Puerto Rico, and I know I wouldn't have found Utuado. But God had a plan. God had an exact place, but I had to let him lead. I had to say, okay, God, even though I don't understand, I don't know where you're taking me, I don't know why you're leading me this way, but I want you to lead. God has a plan for every single one of us. He has a place in our life. He has a place, you know, maybe it's a physical place, like for us, is Utuado, Puerto Rico, where I know God wants us to be. Maybe God is just, if you don't have a leading to a place, you know, this is a good place to be, right here in a good Baptist church. But you have to let God lead. You have to say, okay, Jesus, maybe I don't understand what you're doing. Maybe I don't understand your plan for my life, but I want you to lead. There is no better place that you could ever be than the exact place where God wants you to be. Even if you don't understand, even if it doesn't make sense to your finite mind, God has a plan. God has a place where he wants you to be. And when you're in that place, God can work miracles in your life. God can change your life. God can do amazing things. But first, you're going to have to let God lead. Let God lead in your life. Even if you don't understand his plan, let him lead. Trust me, his plan is better. The next thing I see is the blind man had to be humble. Again, in verse number 23, it says, "And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught." Now, we see all through the Bible Jesus working miracles in a bunch of different ways. You know, there's times where he just touches someone and they're healed, or he just, you know, speaks the words and they're healed, or, you know, we even see Peter's shadow would pass over people in the street and they were suddenly healed. God could have picked a lot of different ways, a lot of nicer ways to work this miracle. And I don't know why, and I'm sure this blind man didn't know why, but when he decided to work the miracle this time, he decided to spit on him. It's one of the most humbling things that could possibly happen to you. And this blind man, you know, I'm sure we've already read the story. We know, you know, in just a second here, he's going to look up and he's going to see for the first time in his life. It's going to be great. But to the blind man, he's just being spit on. It's not pleasant. I'm sure it's not what he's expecting. I'm sure, you know, he's not thinking he's going to go out here and be spit on by Jesus. He's probably thinking, you know, Jesus, I left everything behind. I left my city behind. I left my family behind. I left my friends behind. Beyond that, I let you lead. I gave you my hand. I said, Jesus, you can take me wherever you want me to go. I'm doing exactly what you want me to do. That the blind man, he hasn't been sinning. He hasn't been, you know, fighting Jesus' will. No, he's been doing exactly what Jesus wants him to do. And then Jesus spits on him. Sometimes in our Christian life, we're doing exactly what Jesus wants us to do. We're following him. We're doing our best to stay in his will, stay where he wants us to be. And God decides to work a miracle in our life. We can see this is a miracle. This is something amazing about to happen. But it's not the way the blind man was expecting. Sometimes in our Christian life, God decides to spit on us. Probably not literally. He doesn't really do that anymore. But God decides to do a miracle some different way. Not the way that we are expecting. We have to be humble enough to let him work. This blind man, he's so close to the miracle. He's so close to having his life changed here. But he could have walked away right here. Said, I may be blind, but I'm too good for you to just spit on me. Walked away, missed out on a miracle. But he didn't. He was humble enough to let God work. Sometimes when God is working a miracle in our life, it's not the way we're expecting. It's not the perfect, cookie cutter miracle that you hear of. Example for us, about a year ago when our son was born, there was problems through the pregnancy. We could tell pretty early on that there was some issues going on. He ended up being born about 6 weeks early, and we knew right away that there was different issues, and they ended up life-flighting him, helicoptering him up to the University of Chicago so he could be up there where they could take a little bit better care of him. And we knew his lungs weren't working, his kidneys weren't working, and his blood was too thick. And so we were up there for, it was a couple weeks, and the doctors, they'd been working on his lungs and his kidneys and everything, but they just kept saying, there's something else going on that we can't understand. There's something else. He's not responding how he should be to the medicines. And they took him in for an MRI. They thought maybe he had some water on his brain. And they're just running him through the MRI looking for something completely different and came across dark spots, is what they told us. We found out he had had a series of strokes when he was first born. And so that was what was going on. It was just kind of blocking in his brain. So it wasn't healing his body like it should. When we look back at it, and now, by the way, praise the Lord, he's doing very well. As far as we can tell, there isn't any residual effects from the strokes, and he really is doing much better. But at that time, when you have a baby born, and everything that happens, you hear the stories. I'm not sure. I'm not saying that labor is fun or anything, but you hear the stories of the baby being born, rushing to the hospital, and you have your healthy little boy or healthy little kid, and can take him home. When we look back now, we can see the miracle. We can see the amazing thing. When I hold my little boy, he's crawling now. He's getting so close to walking. He's holding on to things and taking little steps and stuff. He's getting so close to walking. When I see him, all I can see now is the miracle. God did something amazing. God gave us a miracle, a life-changing miracle. But when he gave it to us, he decided to do it a little bit differently. Well, not the miracle we were expecting, not exactly the way we were expecting. He decided to do it a little bit more humbling. Sometimes God's going to do that. Sometimes God's going to work a miracle that way in your life. It was a Sunday morning when I was there with him in the hospital. I was just going in to check on him, and the nurse stopped me outside the door and said, "You're going to have to wait. He just flatlined. His heart stopped beating. We just resuscitated and brought him back and everything." It's times like that where it's hard to see the miracle. It feels like you're being spit on. But God's working. God's doing something amazing. God is doing a miracle. If you're at a point in your Christian life where it feels like, God, I'm doing what I should be doing. I'm following you. I'm serving you. I'm in church. I'm active. I'm doing what you want me to do. And God decides to work a miracle that you're not expecting, in a way that you're not expecting. But you're so close to that miracle. Hang in there. God has something amazing he wants to do. This blind man, he's about to have his life changed. In just a second here, he's going to look up and see for the first time in his life, have a miracle worked. But first, he had to get through that humbling part. Get through the miracle that he wasn't expecting. But if God is working in your life, no matter, you know, if God decides to work that perfect miracle where, bang, everything is great, you know, praise the Lord, that's wonderful. But if God decides to work a miracle more like this, a little bit more humbling, you know, God's still working. God is doing a miracle. Hang in there. Be humble enough to let God work his miracle. Next thing I see is the blind man wanted more. It says, I'll go through verse number 23 again. It says, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. Verse number 24, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. This blind man looks up for the first time in his life. He says, I see men as trees walking. It's not perfect. It's not 100%. I can see. This was a miracle. This is something amazing just happened to this blind man. He went from seeing absolutely nothing to now he can see. Now, he could have gone home right here. He could have gone home, seen his family for the first time, seen his friends for the first time, you know, throwing a party. This is a miracle. This is life-changing that just happened to this blind man. This is amazing. Every single one of us has seen some amazing miracles. If you're saved tonight, I mean, that right there, that is a miracle. Praise the Lord. You know, before your soul was destined for hell, now you're going to heaven. Praise God. That's a miracle. That's something amazing, life-changing, definitely, that has happened in your life. Beyond that, God's obviously been doing some amazing things in your life. You have a wonderful church where you can come and learn about God. That's a miracle. That is a huge blessing. There's so many places on the earth. There's so many places, I mean, just in Missouri, where you don't have access to a good gospel-preaching church like you have here. God's works and miracles. God has done some amazing things in your life. Beyond that, you know, you're here Sunday night. You obviously have grown in your Christian life. Praise God. He's been giving you miracles. He's been giving you some wonderful things. Sometimes we get to our point in our Christian life where we can say, okay, God, thank you so much for the miracles you've done. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for the church. Thank you for what you've done in my life, the place you've gotten me to in my Christian life. And we stop right there. God has so much more he could do. He has so much more he could work in our life. But we stop wanting the miracles. We say, God, thank you for what you've done, and this is good. God has more for us. No matter what point you are in your Christian life, God has more miracles he wants to do in your life. God has more blessings he wants to give your life. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 20. Very, very familiar verse. I like to read it, though. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. When I pray about Puerto Rico, when I ask God about Puerto Rico, you know, I can ask for some amazing things. I can ask for a church being planted, you know, and souls being saved, and the church growing, amazing, wonderful things I can ask about. Beyond that, I can dream, I can think about some pretty fantastic miracles. But the Bible says, exceeding abundantly, above the very best I could pray about, the very best I could even think about, that's what God has for me. That is the miracle that God wants to work in my life. You know, if I saw the end of the life that God wants me to live, I couldn't comprehend it. It's exceeding abundantly above the very best I can even think about. That's what God wants for me. That is the miracle that God wants to work in my life. That is a miracle that God wants to work in every single one of our lives tonight. He has a plan for our life. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. God has a plan for your life. And it is exceeding abundantly above the very best you could even imagine. God, that is a miracle that God wants to work in every single one of our lives. That is a Christian life that God wants us to live. I would hate to get to the end of my life and look back and see the miracles that God could have done with me, the blessings that God could have given me, miracles that God could have worked through me if I just wanted him to. This blind man, he could have left right here, walked out, missed out on the rest of the miracle, missed out on God working a miracle in his life. But he wanted more. He wanted God to keep working in his life. I want to live my life wanting more. Every day, you know, I praise the Lord for his blessings that he's given me. I don't want to sound ungrateful, but you know what? I know. The Bible can prove there's so much more he wants to do in my life. There's so many more miracles that he wants to work in my life. And I want that. I want to live my life wanting those miracles. Don't get burnt down on your Christian life. Don't get to a place in your Christian life where you say, okay, God, thank you for what you've done. I'm stopping right here. It doesn't matter where you are in your Christian life. It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter anything. God has more for you. God has more miracles. He wants to work in your life. But you're going to have to want God to keep working. The last thing I see is the blind man stayed close. Like I said, the blind man, you know, at this point, after he'd had this amazing miracle, after he'd had his life changed, he could have gone home right here. He could have gone home and celebrated with everyone about what God had done in his life. And it's true. God had worked a miracle. It's something amazing. But this blind man stayed close to Jesus. I think he stayed as close to Jesus as he possibly could. Now, he didn't know how long he was going to have to wait. You know, I'm sure he's standing there. You know, and he can see, I'm sure he's excited about that, but he's saying, you know what? This came from Jesus. This miracle came from Jesus. I am not leaving. I'm staying as close to Jesus as I possibly can. If we want God to keep working in our life, if we want more miracles, we're going to have to stay close to him. We're going to have to stay as close to Jesus as we possibly can. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want my heart to be as close to God as it possibly can be. That means I'm going to have to invest in it. Obviously, that can apply to money. You know, that if you want your heart to be there, then that's where you should put your treasure. But you know, that also can apply in some investing in your time, in your energy. If you want God to work in your life, you're going to have to invest. You're going to have to get your life wrapped up in serving him. It's not, you know, just enough to fill your spot in the pew and, you know, to pay your tithes anymore. No, if you want your heart close to God, you're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to give God a few things. You're going to have to give God some time, some energy, some late nights, some early mornings. You're going to have to invest your life in serving God. If you want your heart to be close to God, that's where you're going to have to put your treasure. See, also, if you're going to stay close to God, you know, that means you're going to have to do the simple things. You know, do what every preacher preached about. It means you're going to have to come to church. It means you're going to have to read your Bible. It means you're going to have to pray. It means you're going to have to pay your tithes. Don't let anything come between you and God. Stay as close to him as you possibly can. No matter what the miracle is, this blind man just had his life changed, just had everything that he's used to absolutely changed around. But even after that, even after, you know, that great mountaintop experience, you know, wonderful time in his Christian life, sometimes it seems after the miracle, you know, sometimes we'll get distracted before the miracle, and you know, we don't have enough patience for God to finish the miracle. But sometimes it's after the miracle, after, you know, that great mountaintop experience where, you know, we saw a bunch of people saved in church, and you know, soul winning has been great, and wow, this is so wonderful. And that's the time that we decide to wander away from God. That's the time, you know, oh, God's blessing me so much, I don't have to read my Bible today, or you know, God's blessing me. God has used me so much. He's obviously blessed me. Oh, you know, maybe if I skip church this one time, it's going to be okay. Stay close to God. No matter where you are in your Christian life, if you want God to keep blessing you, if you want more miracles in your Christian life, you're going to have to stay close to God. Stay as close to God as you possibly can. The Bible says in verse number 25, after that, just to recap, after that, he was willing to leave. He was willing to leave everything behind, willing to leave his city, his family, everything behind. After that, he was willing to be led. He was willing to say, okay, Jesus, you lead. You take me wherever you want me to go. After that, he was humble enough to let Jesus work his miracle however he wanted to do it. After that, he wanted God to keep working in his life badly enough that he stayed close. The Bible says, verse number 25, after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. This blind man looks up. And I'm sure Bible says he could see clearly. I think he had the best vision in the world. I think no one has ever seen more clearly than this man. If the Bible says it's clear, it's clear. And I'm sure when he looks up, I was exceeding abundantly above the very best he could have thought sight was. That is the miracle God wanted to work in this blind man's life. God has a miracle. God has a whole lot of miracles for every single one of our lives. I see the blind man, he had to do these five things to be able to receive the whole miracle. Maybe one of these things is standing in your way of what God has for you. Let's go ahead and pray.